Good afternoon, everybody. It's time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And as always, we are very happy to be on the air with you today, bringing the Word of God, the anointed Word of God that's going to change your life and bless you so much. Looking forward to a great show today. Nan's in the studio with me. Betty will be on in a minute for the first hour, and then Megan. So got a lot of us here to talk to you about the Word of God today and just to absolutely encourage you at this difficult time of year as we're approaching holidays, as we're approaching election and all of that kind of thing. There seems to be so much going on in our lives. Just remember to thank God and praise Him through everything that you're going through. And we're getting close to Thanksgiving, a couple weeks away, not too long now, not too far away. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, live here in the studio. Nan is in the studio there, and we just came from the nursing home, didn't we, Nan?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, great time, as always, right?
As always, great time.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
Yes, it really is. Always sharing the word with those dear people at Palm Garden in Clearwater, and been doing that for 6 years plus now, and the first Sunday of every month. And we have some of our Beacon people that go and attend and are take part in that service. And it's always a joy to see these dear ones singing and praising God. One lady told me today, "I bet you don't know how old I am." I said, "No, I don't think I do." And she goes, "Well, I'm 98. And she's singing there. She goes, "I totally take care of myself. I'm 98. And I thought, wow. She's been with us almost every single time we're there for 6 years. And that's just a joy. One lady's 107, I believe, now. And so, you know, it's good. It's good. We enjoy going every week. And we enjoy just sharing the Word of God. Betty, are you there? Are you on the air with me?
I am on the air with you, Pastor. How
are you?
All
right. Good. How about you?
I'm doing great. We're just we're cruising around the metropolis of Richmond, Indiana.
Oh, that's good.
I picked up my grandson, and
there you go.
And, so we're just, you know, beautiful days. Time to be outside and just happy to be alive and praising God in the meantime.
So you got a beautiful day in Indiana? Wow.
Yeah.
No, it is that time of year.
The sun's shining.
Oh, wow.
And the leaves are turning. And so we're gloriously rejoicing in this beautiful day.
And where were you 2 weeks ago today?
In Newcastle, Indiana.
Uh-huh. What were you doing there?
Well, I was giving glory to and praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We were having a glorious time in the presence of Almighty God, watching to see exactly what the Lord had in store for us in
yes.
Newcastle, Indiana. And, he came, he showed up
yes.
and he showed off.
Yeah, it was
it
great.
It was a wonderful, glorious time, to be able to spend time in the presence of Almighty God. And afterwards, I was the next few days after that, Megan goes, "Gosh, I wish we could have stayed longer."
I know, yes.
Because you want to stay in that presence. Once it's there, it's like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's so peaceful and wonderful. And you have just such a fulfillment, contentment
yes.
when you're in the presence of Almighty God.
Oh, yes. And that was our first 4G Kingdom Living Revival. And there will be more, and we've got some coming up in the new year. And we'll let our audience know if we're in your area. But, you know, we had a great time there and just saw the power of God move so mightily and people's lives changed and healed and new hope. You know, there was just a lot of new hope. There was just a lot that God did in those couple days of revival. Maybe next time we need to go for 3 days. Is that what you're saying, Betty? Instead of two?
Oh, you know, and you could go on. I mean, this could be a 24-hour
service. Of those kind of revivals. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boy.
I mean, it's where you just, you know, you're just so overcome by God's presence that you can't leave. I mean, you're basically awestruck by just being able to stand in His presence is just
oh yeah.
You just you can dance, you can just stand there, you can cry, you can just do whatever whatever you feel like. It was just, it was wonderful.
Oh, amen.
Praise God for you being able to be obedient and coming up and listening to what God, you know, wanted to do. And, you know, people were revived, refreshed, refurbished, and ready to face a new day within.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I remember some of those services back at Cornerstone when I pastored up there in Indiana for 7 years back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I remember some of those times when service would just go on and on because so many people were being touched by the power of God. So many people were being saved or healed or whatever. Those are glorious times. And audience, if you've never been in something like that, just a real revival, that the word, I was thinking as we were starting this new branch of the ministry, God, what word do you want to use? And I kept hearing revival. And I remember saying, God, that's kind of an old word. But you know what? I couldn't get away from it, Betty, because it is a revival when God begins to revive, which means bring us back to life. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. It's like being reborn.
Yes.
You've been revived. You've been enlightened. You've been, I mean, there's so many words that can describe revival, but it's like, you know, he revives us again, oh Lord.
Oh, amen.
And that's what people needed. People needed a new start.
Right. Yes.
Just like, you know, kind of like charging your battery. You just need that recharging effect when you're in the presence of Almighty God.
Oh, amen. Amen. That's a good metaphor, because you know when our cell phones get down and they're showing 11% or you know, you really need to recharge. I think in this day and age we need to be very mindful of the fact that our spiritual batteries also need to be recharged with the power of Almighty God. And that happens as we praise, as we worship, as we hear the anointed word, as we're just giving God the glory for all that he's doing and how amazingly wonderful he is. And when that happens, our batteries begin to recharge. Nan, do you want to comment on that at all before we go to this first song?
I can remember times of revival in my life. You know, like you said, it's kind of an old word, but we used to have revival. And
yes,
we had revival.
Revival.
And it was so neat to see how our lives were changed and how the lives of our friends and church family was changed.
Oh, absolutely.
As a result of the revival. I mean, and I wouldn't miss a night.
Right.
As an adult.
Me
too. When I had the choice, I wouldn't miss a night. I was there every night because you just don't know what night you're going to get the biggest blessing.
Oh, I know.
So you just want to be there to just bask in the presence of the Lord.
I grew up as a preacher's kid, and my dad, we would have a revival every year. Some other minister would come in for 2 weeks. They'd stay in our home, the pastor. Or sometimes my dad would go out for 2 weeks and preach someplace else. And I remember night after night after night that it just seemed to mount that presence of God, the glory of the Lord. In fact, Betty, I drove this time instead of flew to Indiana so that if God did continue it more than two nights, that I'd be there ready to go. And I think that that's what we need to be. We need to be ready to just hear the voice of the Lord. And really, we need to want to be in the atmosphere of revival. We need to want that, Betty. Talk to me about that real quick before we go to this first song.
Well, you know, it's like you come with anticipation.
Yes.
You come with enthusiasm because you need that that filling. You need that.
Amen.
Your soul searches and thirsts after the word of God.
Yes.
And you need that living water to refresh you. And I know it's just like those 2 days, you know, we were there 2 hours before the service started.
Right.
Because we didn't want to miss anything.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, and we came expecting.
Yes.
We came believing.
Amen.
And we were so faced up.
Right.
That, you know, it's just like when people would come in, they'd look at us like, wow. You know,
we were ready.
Here?
We were ready.
We were ready for
right.
revival.
Woo! So we will be having more 4G Kingdom Living revivals. I'm not going to tell you what that stands for. You have to come to one to find out. This is a great song, The Stand by Christian Stanfield. Love this song.
Stood before creation. stay. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my sin. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stay. And what could I say? And what could I do?
A song of surrender. I'll stand with arms high and praising God. That's a song of I'll be what you want me to be. I'll stand here and I'll surrender. That's what it's about. Nan, we were talking about that in a meeting we had earlier today, just that need for total surrender, that God is calling us to really, really want to serve Him from the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah, I think in part of that discussion that we had, just to reiterate what we were, you know, discussing, is that we just have a deep yearning,
yes,
desire, as was discussed, to be a disciple.
Yes.
To be a disciple of His. You know, just as the disciples were His in the Bible time, we too can be a disciple of the Lord, but it is our choice. And it's a deeper walk with the Lord is what being a disciple means. Not, I'm just not a Christian, but I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Christ.
And imitator. The word means follower, yes, and imitator. That word was mentioned 255 times in the New Testament. Jesus made disciples. It never does it say that Jesus made Christians. He made disciples. And so in this day, we need to be very aware that God is calling us to be followers, mm-hmm, of Jesus, to be imitators, to act like Him, talk like Him, develop the fruit of the Spirit, love, mm-hmm, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control, all those things, that God is calling us to be different than the average person that we run into all the time. Betty talked to us about this. Nan brought up a really good point here before we go to 1 Thessalonians. Go ahead.
Well, I think that that's what the Lord is calling us to be, is to be more like Him, is to be able to witness to people, to be able to, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk.
Right.
And people need to see a difference in us. We can't be like the world. We need to be more like Jesus. And I think that was one of the main things of the discussion, you know, a couple weeks ago during the 4G Kingdom Revival, was that Jesus wants us to be so close to Him that we have the communication, the relationship with Jesus Christ has to be more. There has to be more communication. There has to be more prayer.
Right.
There has to be more worship and praise.
Oh, there does, yes.
And that's how we become, and we had talked about this morning, about, you know, what the disciples did, is that when Jesus said, you know, come follow me, they dropped everything they were doing. They left all of their material possessions behind, and they followed him.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is called a commitment.
Right.
And to be sold out, to be exactly what he wants us to be. And we don't have to be perfect, because there was only one perfect being, and that was him.
Right.
So we don't have to be perfect to follow Jesus. He just wants us to be, we're his children, and he wants to take care of us.
Oh, amen. We're getting some sound. I don't know if you're standing outside, if it's wind or what it is. We're getting quite a bit of sound from your phone there, I think. Betty, I don't know that there's anything you can do about
better?
It.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's much better. Yeah, that's fine now.
Yeah, because I had you on Bluetooth, and that's probably just the sound of the engine.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's much better. Okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Every point you just made, we heard, and it was good. I want to start with verse 16, and I'm going to be going back between NIV and the Message Bible. Want to start out with the NIV, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Be joyful always. Huh, that's hard sometimes, isn't it? Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's just start with that first verse right there. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. You know, we're still in this series on powerhouse prayer. And here we have Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he is saying, guys, here's what it's going to take. You got to be joyful or cheerful no matter what's going on. In the Message Bible, it says be cheerful no matter what. Pray at all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you to, who belong to Christ Jesus, to live. All right, so talk to me, Betty, about that, because it's not always easy, is it, to be joyful all the time, cheerful all the time, constantly having an attitude of praise and thanksgiving. I would think a lot of our listeners would be thinking, that's not even possible. Why is that in the Bible? It's not even possible to live like that. Talk to us, Betty, about that. Let's hear it. Talk to me. What do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, the Lord expects us to do the best that we can.
Right.
And at least praying once or twice a day is better than not praying at all.
Right.
You know, to praise Him, we can do that through worship, through music, through just the way that we talk.
Right.
Can be an everyday occurrence. And I think once that you begin that habit, that continuous,
it's a habit. You're right.
It becomes a habit. It becomes
right,
almost like second nature to
yes.
be able to say when you wake up in the morning, even before your feet hit the ground, is to say, Lord God, thank you for this day.
Amen.
Thank you for waking me up.
Right.
Thank you that I'm still breathing.
That's right.
I'm still able to see. You know, I may be a little tired or maybe a little bit worn out, but I know, Lord God, that your spirit will revive me.
Amen.
And will give me the strength that I need to go through my day. And, you know, you may be even facing a storm at some point, but the anchor holds.
Right.
The, you know, your sails, and it's that song by Ray Bolt that keeps coming back in my head again. You know, even though the sails are torn, he keeps us standing strong.
Amen.
And he's there with us because he promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people think that it's impossible to be cheerful, thankful, joyful all the time because they have bad circumstances happen. And, you know, that's true. We all have difficult things happen in our lives, things that we don't
exactly
understand, things that absolutely just are trying to tear and take away our peace and our joy and all of that. But the truth still remains that we can be joyful in who God is for us.
Yes, that's right.
Here is a question that I've been asking a lot. I asked it a couple weeks ago at Revival. What is it that God wants to be for you now that maybe he's never been able to be before? In other words, God has so many blessings for you now, even though you may be going through one of the worst trials of your entire life. You may have just hit a terrible, terrible place in your road of life, and you're discouraged, you're defeated, and yet we read a scripture that says, be joyful all the time, pray all the time. I mean, Nan, talk to us about this. How, I mean, the average listener's probably thinking we're nuts.
Thank goodness we're not.
And there you go. All right.
Hi, Betty.
I'm glad. Are you speaking for all three of us, I guess?
Yeah, I am.
No, thank you.
No, three thanks, Nan.
Hey, you're welcome. I love you, Betty.
Love you too, Nan.
Oh, okay. All right. Something happened over there on her end. We'll come back to her in just a minute. But you know, Betty, this is the question that we need to be asking ourselves. God, what is it you want to be for me now in this situation? Let's say that our listeners are having some really tough things going on. Maybe a job loss, maybe a divorce coming up, maybe the death of a spouse or a loved one. And in our natural mind, we can't see any reason why we should be thankful, why we should be praising God, why we should be joyful. You know, it's in our natural mind, it's so easy. It's so easy. Go ahead, Nan. We got that fixed. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, myself with what I'm going through. And, you know, that's my job.
Right.
You know, and it's proven to be extremely stressful.
Right.
But I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I have a job. Because many listening right now, or many listening in the future at another time, they may not have a job and would love to be able to have that job that is so stressful.
Yes.
And I'm thankful that I work where I do, that, you know, I earn 3 weeks vacation a year. I'm off at various times throughout the year. I earn sick leave. You know, so I'm blessed even in that job, even though it's challenging. There's blessings in that job because I have insurance benefits that I need.
Right.
You know, I mean, so, you know, so it, when we're going through difficult times, well, kind of like I said to the people, you know, when I spoke at the nursing home today, and I was talking about being thankful.
Yes.
And I told them to concentrate on what they can be thankful for.
Exactly.
Concentrate on what they have, not what they don't have.
That was really a good point.
And
that was a great point.
It's like, that's what we need to do. And we need to encourage each other in that. You know, if we have a brother or sister who's kind of down and they're going through whatever's happening, we need to come up with them. We need to unite with them. We need to pray with them. We need to help them to find positive things to be thankful for. And I'm going to go as far as say I feel we have a responsibility to each other to encourage each other.
You know what? I agree with you entirely. When we are having those difficult times and somebody's in our life that has the ability to speak kind words or speak words of encouragement or lift us up with a scripture or a song, send a song. It's so easy to go to YouTube and send these great songs. Betty, I think you're the master of that now. You do that all the time. I was listening to some of the stuff you sent me this morning, and I was just praising God because that's a gift you can give someone. Go to YouTube and find something that will just absolutely bless somebody that you know is going through a hard time. You know? Go ahead, Nan.
I just thought of it, and the Lord brought it back to mind. There's been some times that I felt like he said to me, find somebody to bless. I mean, literally search out to find someone that you can bless, whether it be with something material or in most cases, encouraging words. Seek out and you will find people. All you do is, if you really want to go down that road, say, God, help me to see people who need a blessing and use me to bless them.
I remember
we'll do that.
I remember a couple years ago, Betty, and maybe you remember this about Nan, that God told her to go to the grocery and he would point out somebody who needed $20. Mm-hmm. And so she would do that. And some of the weirdest things happened to her. But there wasn't one who wasn't blessed by mm-hmm. that act of kindness, you know,
right.
Because God has the ability to point out people in need. God, sometimes I'm standing in a line somewhere and God just says, pray for that person. I don't ever talk to them. I don't ever have any interaction. Mm-hmm. But if he can use us in those ways, talk to us, Betty, because he does do this kind of stuff. He's very interesting.
Oh, yeah. It is. And it blesses him when we bless someone.
Right.
It just makes him a happy camper when one of his children does something.
We want God to be a happy camper, don't we?
Oh, we do.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's like you'll be listening to a song, and I think it was today. I heard a song that I had never heard before, and it was called The Alabaster Jar.
Oh, yeah, I know that song.
And
yeah, it's a good song.
It's about someone who doesn't feel like that they were worthy enough
right.
to be able to
yes.
To be what God wanted them to mm-hmm. be. But you look at Mary Magdalene and what she
right.
did for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And immediately.
What? I just lost you. And immediately what? Betty, we lost you. You there? Okay, she'll figure out in a minute. Go ahead, Nan.
I wanted to say something in reference to when God had me doing what you had shared, which I don't really go around sharing with people, but it was one story in particular stood out, and I think it is important now to point out. There was one lady, I offered her the money. She looked at me and she smiled and she said, I don't need it. Why don't you give it to someone who does, and here's some money to put with it. She matched my money.
Oh, that's, I forgot that time.
Yeah, she matched my money, and I'm like, so God multiplied. I mean, what I was doing in obedience to him, he multiplied it even.
Right, and then I did give it to someone else,
and then I caught this lady in the parking lot, the lady that had given me the money, and I went out and said, I just want to let you know, here's the person I gave them to, blah, blah, blah. She was like, that way she also realized herself that she would get a blessing off of that.
Oh, you know? Yes.
That story stuck out of all of them.
Oh, yeah.
How he multiplied. And he'll multiply things in our lives.
Amen.
In different kind of ways. You know, it's sometimes financially, sometimes health-wise, sometimes friend-wise. He will multiply things in our lives as we are obedient to him, serve him, and stand for good, stand for right, stand what we need to stand for.
Oh, amen.
He will bless us.
There used to be a song that we sang out of the hymnal when I was a kid, and it was called Make Me a Blessing. I don't know. Did you ever sing that one, Nan?
No, I didn't sing
that one.
I think
Betty just clicked off. She'll probably come back in a little while. But Make Me a Blessing, you know, and it just went. It was just such a song as a kid. I remember singing it and making that my heart. My mm-hmm. heart was, yeah, Lord, I want to be a blessing. You know, I want to bless somebody else. That's what we're talking about with this giving that you've done and different things that we've all done. But people, listen, you can be a blessing by just praying for somebody. You may never even go talk to them. Mm-hmm. It may be somebody that you see at work. It may be somebody in the grocery, somebody in traffic, whatever. And if God says, just take a moment and pray for them. Whoa, what a blessing you can be. And I mean, that's what he wants. Betty, you're back with us, I think, right?
Yes, I went into a no man's zone, and
okay.
Now I'm back.
We know how those are in Indiana. All right, so you're back. We're talking about be a blessing. And that's why we can be cheerful and no matter what comes our way. Because no matter what, how difficult it is right now for you, dear listener, if you develop an attitude of I'm going to be cheerful in the midst of this because God's got blessings in store for me because I'm going through this trial, okay? And a couple weeks ago, I was teaching that with every problem, there is already a provision, Okay, God already knows how he's going to solve this for you. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. With every problem, there is a provision already, and then there's something in between. We got to grab a hold of the promise. Three words that begin with P, right? Problem, promise, provision. Right. And so as when we, and I was kind of making fun of this, I guess, in a way, as I was preaching. But when we get the problem, we should be rejoicing and calling friends. Guess what? I have a problem now. I have a problem. I first heard this concept years ago by a evangelist, an amazing man, Graham Cook. And it just got down a hold of me. And in the last few weeks, it has really, really been there within me. That when the problem comes, we can be cheerful because we already know there's an answer and a provision. Talk to me, Betty, about that. Problem, promise, provision.
Well, I tell you, when you brought that concept up at the revival, and I wrote it down, and it's like it resonated. I mean, it just like... boom, hit me right in the face, because this is something that, you know, a different way of I've used it recently in a prayer, is that someone knows that if you're going through a problem, or you're going through a trial, that trial is going to be your best testimony.
It is.
You think you're in a mess, but it's going to turn out to be a message that's going to turn someone else's life around.
Oh, amen.
And it was just, it was so amazing of how quickly that you have a problem. There are X amount of promises in the Bible that the Lord tells us about.
Right.
But he also gives us a provision.
Yes.
Because he's trying to teach us.
Right.
What's God trying to tell me through this?
Right.
And I'm not trying to preach, but...
go ahead. You're doing fine.
He is trying to... he's trying to, especially through some things that I've went through in the last few weeks, is that he's teaching me how to be more dependent on him.
Amen. That's true. That's so true.
I can be so stubborn in some ways, and it's like my stubbornness is slowly dwindling away because I know that the answer lies at the end of this dark tunnel that I'm going through. And that he is at the end of that tunnel.
Yes.
And there are listeners out there that I know that think that, you know, where is God in all of this? Why don't I have an answer?
Right.
Well, it's the promise. Find the promise and hold on to it.
Amen.
Stand through that, you know, the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you.
Amen.
And there's a provision that says that I will never leave... repeating the same thing over again.
That's all right.
That he will never leave us nor forsake us. My love for you abounds. If I take care of the lilies in the field, will I not take care of you?
Ooh, praise God. Yes, that'll preach.
So you know that there is power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There is power in the blood of Jesus. So don't think that you're the only one that's going through a problem at this time. All of us are going through something because it's a new season. God wants us closer to him.
Amen.
He wants to move us into a new dimension that we've never been in before.
Yes.
And before, it's just like you have to be, use this as an example. If you're moving to a new community or you're moving somewhere where you're not really sure what's going to happen, you have to be prepared for that move. And so you may have to go through some hoops. You may have to go through some trials and tribulations before you move. But that's how God prepares us for this new season.
Amen.
He gives us things that will help us grow, to help us depend on him, to help us to bloom where we're planted. And it's just
amen.
It's a learning process for all of us. And that's why we have to so depend on him.
Amen. Listen to this song. She couldn't have said it any better. The Same God by the group New Song.
Back to the wall, scared you fall. What you gonna do? Day and night, don't know why. It's like the world's against you. A
The same God when things were going great is the same God that's with you now.
He's with you now.
They go with the fear and doubt. Nan's got something here, a poem that God just gave her during that song. Great song.
God just gave me a poem. This is such a powerful poem. It is absolutely incredible. You can rely upon me. Look to me. You will see. I am with you through all you face. You will make it by my grace.
Mm.
I do hear what you pray. Believe that I am making the way. I was with you in the past. This trial will not always last. You will make it through. Look to me. That's what you're to do. You're going through this season. You will later understand the reason. You will be a testimony to many. They will learn that they too can be free. Free from what they currently face, I'll be with them. They'll make it by my grace. Child, continue to hold on. Through this, you will become strong.
Mm, that is a powerful word from the Lord. You're going to have to read it again because I was just, the anointing on that poem. And y'all, this isn't something that's planned ahead of. We don't even know what's going to happen on these shows. We have a general idea where we're headed, and then we just let the Holy Spirit lead from that point on. And this happens to Nan once in a while, that she just feels very led to start typing in her computer. I want you to read it one more time. That's for several somebodies out there.
You can rely upon me. Look to me. You will see. I'm with you as this you face. You will make it by my grace. I do hear what you pray. Believe that I am making the way. I was with you in the past. This trial will not always last. You will make it through. Look to me. That's what you're to do. You are going through this season. You will later understand the reason. You will have a testimony to many. They will learn that they too can be free. Free from what they currently face. I'll be with them. They'll have my grace. Child, continue to hold on. Through this, you will become strong.
Oh, boy. Betty, what do you think of that? That was a powerful word from God. Mm.
Well, I think that, you know, Nan is a very obedient servant,
yes,
of the Lord. And it, you know, it's a gift that not too many people have.
No, I don't. I can't write a poem.
I try, but mine's like something out of a comic book. And so it's it's a gift, and it's something that encourages and uplifts, and it never tears us down. It's always something that enlightens people and lets them know that God is with them. If God be with us, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Oh, amen.
And that's what I'm so thankful that Nan is obedient and listens and hears what the Lord has to say.
Oh, amen. And what I hear there is that, folks, when we have a problem that seems so crazy, like where did this come from or why did this happen or how could this have happened, you know, and we're sitting here on the other side of the event and we are feeling that awful feeling of loss if you've just lost a loved one. Or a job or a marriage or whatever. And you're sitting there and you're going, what happened? I feel like I got hit by this huge thing I didn't see coming. And that is part of life. Those things do happen. And yes, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, be cheerful no matter what. Because we can be cheerful and joyful in who God is for us in that trial. Here's the question. Write it down. What does God want to be for me now in this set of circumstances? Maybe that he's never been for me before. God, what are you wanting to teach me now? Who do you want to be for me? Are you my provider, Jehovah Jireh, my provider? Are you the God that sees ahead and makes provision for my need? That's Jehovah Jireh. Are you Jehovah Shalom, my peace? Are you wanting to bring me peace like I've never known before? Are you wanting to prove to me that you're with me no matter what's going on, Jehovah? Shammah, you're always there. You know, what is it, God? You're trying to show me that you are for me now. Talk to me, Betty. You there? Betty.
Yeah, I had you on mute. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I think, and I don't like using people's names over the radio because I don't want to intimidate them in any way, but there was one lady that just lost a spouse.
Right.
And we lost, I lost a grandson 2 years ago, and you go through different stages of grief, but the one thing that I know that gave us hope and gave us encouragement is that it's not that we will never see them again, because we will.
Yes.
And that's the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is that once we lose a loved one, whether it be a human, even an animal,
yes,
for that matter.
Yes, sure.
Is that they, you know, I believe all dogs and cats go to heaven.
Absolutely.
And so there comes a point in time where that grief, that like I spoke about just a few minutes ago, that the garment, if we put on that garment of praise, if we know in our heart that we're going to see that loved one again someday, you know, when I go to heaven, I know who's going to be there to greet me.
Right.
And I know that that person who just lost their spouse, there's such a loneliness.
Yes.
In such an emptiness that you feel, because that person, you don't feel that presence of that person that you lost. What happens, I believe this, is the presence of God is there in your life, and he's there to pull you through. He's
Amen.
There to hold you. He's there to pick you up when you're down.
That's right.
And that's where we have, in those times of loss, whether it be job, in the event of some of your relatives, that God is there. He is ever present with us through the loss of a job or the loss of a loved one or the loss of a pet, or you think that you're losing your health. And he's Jehovah Rapha. The Holy Spirit is such a comforter.
He is.
That
yes.
His presence is ever present in our time of need.
Amen.
And that's where sometimes it is hard to be joyful. But if you look at it on the flip side, so to speak, is that God is there. He has always been there for us, and he will continue to be there for us. He will continue to stand with us until we're able to stand on our own. And then again, he will walk behind us. He will walk beside us. He walks in front of us. So his presence engulfs us.
Yes.
With peace and comfort and encouragement. And he's just, I don't know, in these last few days, whenever he's coming back, is that he's preparing us. He's preparing us for good things ahead.
Oh, amen.
We may see darkness right now, but he's bringing us into the light. And I think that the longer we're here, the more light that we're going to see. There's going to be less darkness. We're going to have things that confront us from the enemy. There's things that's going to confront us that may, you know, you take a step back, you take a step forward. Gosh, I just took 3 steps backwards. But guess who's at the end of that last step? He's at the beginning. He's at the end.
Amen.
Because that's what he is. He is the I Am. He's the beginning and the end. So he was at the beginning of your loss. He's going to be at the end. He's going to be there for you no matter what.
Amen, amen. You know, yesterday morning I was feeling the loss of my brother-in-law who went to be with the Lord about 10 days ago. And I went to the place I go so often, the Dunedin Causeway, and I sat down and I was just talking to God about it. And I opened my Bible right then to 2 Corinthians 1:3. And this is kind of what you're talking about, Betty. 2 Corinthians 1:3. I want to read you a couple verses. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Somebody out there needs these verses right now. 2 Corinthians 1:3, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. Your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. And it was like God was saying to me, I will bring comfort. I am the God of all comfort. I comfort you in all your troubles. The word there is troubles. It's not necessarily the death of someone or the loss of a job or whatever your particular trial, your problem is right now. It is in no matter what our troubles are, God brings the comfort. Nan, do you want to comment on that? Because he is always there, the great comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter.
Well, I'm reminded of times in my life when I didn't understand what was going on. I lived a good life. I wasn't mean to people. I was nice to people. I cared for people. And yet, a trial that I didn't understand
would come. Right.
And in the midst of that trial, as you said, the Holy Spirit
right.
just comes, comforts us.
Yes.
Is there with us.
Yes.
And with the strength we draw from God, from the Holy Spirit, we make it through.
We do.
And, you know, that's why it's so important, you know, even as I mentioned earlier, to look at what we have, not what we don't have.
Right.
Or to look at the good things in our life. The Holy Spirit comforting you is a pretty darn good thing to have.
Yes.
You know, and to focus upon that, not on the negative, what's happening. Focus upon the fact that you have the Comforter with you. He is helping you, leading, guiding you, comforting
and
you through
the inside of you.
Those
yes.
trials and those tribulations. And there's been some stuff that happened in my life. People go through similar things maybe that I have gone through, and I would have God helping me. They didn't have God help me because they weren't Christians. I don't know how they did it.
Right, exactly.
I don't know how they did it without God's help.
We are blessed. That's why we can be joyful in everything because we do have God. Now I know why I stuck this CD in my bag, my briefcase before coming to the show today. This song is for someone. See how God always does things. Take it, whoever you are.
Where there seems to be no way, He works in ways we cannot see. He
will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a
Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you always have an answer. Praise God. Woo, love that song by Don Moen. Nan, you got a poem?
Yes, I do. It's entitled, I Will Make a Way. I will make a way for you when you don't see how it can be done. Bring to me the pain that you feel. You will make it because of my son. Jesus gave his very life for you because he loves you so much. The Holy Spirit will carry you through. You will feel his awesome touch. I see what is going on in your life. It hasn't caught me by surprise at all. Look to me. You will make it, child. Upon my name, you need to often call. I'm making the way.
Praise God. Good stuff. Woo, we're getting all close to the top of the hour. Betty, do you want to comment a couple more things you want to say before we get to the top of the hour?
Well, I think that God is, he is with us, he is for us, and I think that the more we trust him and believe in him, our trials won't seem so difficult.
Right.
It's a hard thing to do at times, I believe, Pastor and Nan,
But I believe the more that we believe, the more we have faith and trust in him, the easier it gets.
Right. Absolutely. I totally agree. And there are those times when life's going to just feel like you don't feel like going on. Like your burden or your pain or your problem is too huge and too big. But I guess this is one of the joys of being my age and not some of these younger people's age. And that is that I've been through many times through my life where I felt that very same thing. Where I had to say, okay, talk to myself. You're going to praise God no matter how bad this looks. You're going to thank God because he's got an answer even though you can't see it. And because I've lived that way for so long, I can honestly tell you, dear one, whatever your pain and suffering is today, whatever your problem is, God has an answer. He's got a provision. You have a problem, yes, but he's got a provision. And so grab a hold on the promises of God and let's find that provision and know that God has perfect timing. That is a frustrating concept for a lot of us who've walked with the Lord a long time because, you know, it seems like God's pretty darn slow sometimes. And he is continually working behind the scenes. Betty, you want to comment on that before we get you out of here? God is slow sometimes, isn't he?
Yeah. Is, but you know what? I learned a few weeks ago that I may have been the reason why it was slow. I lacked faith.
Okay.
I lacked the ability to trust in him.
Okay.
I went about my own way. I drug my feet. I mean, it was like pulling me behind a moving vehicle because I was dragging my feet so much that I was causing tension and friction in my own life that it didn't really have to be there, but I was the one causing it.
Okay.
There are times in the last few weeks that there's a song, and I can't remember which one it was, is that there was a time that we could have lost everything. And this was a few years ago when Joe lost his job. We could have lost everything. And that was material possessions, but it also meant each other. And I tried so hard to think, okay, God, now what are you trying to teach me through this? And even in a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, he said, you have got to trust me in this. And the answer still hasn't come in a lot of things, but I've given it all to him.
Amen.
And it's a surrender of giving it all him and say, okay, Lord, I can't take this anymore. I am believing and trusting in you, and I'm going to lay it at the foot of the
Amen.
Cross.
Amen.
And I'm not going to pick it up and take it back. I'm going to let you have it. And it's almost like me trying to start a campfire. Is you can't start it unless you have the right things to do it with.
Right, sure.
And when you do that and you give it to God, that's when you start the fire. That's when you start, you put things in motion and you begin to give everything, the problems, the frustrations to God. That's when he begins to light the fire and begins to get things started.
Amen. Got to do station ID. Thank you, Betty, for being on. Megan will join us in a moment. And words of wisdom through Betty Thomas, as always. Blessings to you.